Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
Everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 63. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Kaplan.
Whoa, on the podcast today, we have comedian from The Daily Show, Ronnie Chang. If that name sounds familiar, because he was on our podcast 2 weeks ago.
We made him sign something he didn't notice when he agreed to do the live pod. And on the way out the door, we had to sign away a waiver, and he actually agreed to do another podcast.
We're doing a home and home, as they call it in college football.
We had so much more to talk to him about. So.
Yeah. So immediately we got him back. He'll be here in a minute. Ronnie grew up in Malaysia. You know his story.
Yeah, just listen to the other live pod. You want his story. Don't tell.
He grew up in Malaysia. He moved to Australia. Now he's in America. Works.
Yada, yada, yada. He's here.
Head guy at the day over the
He's running that show. Behind the scenes. Head guy.
So he's doing something. We'll find out more. We had to have him back. But before all that, I have some exciting news.
Yeah, what's that?
Net neutrality passed or didn't pass. I don't know what it means. Yeah. But I do know that it means you can charge for websites now. Right. $1 billion idea.
We're charging. What are we gonna charge?
$100 a click.
$100 a click.
If you want to go on Lost in America Pod, how's that sound?
Yeah, and the only way to get out of it is if you have to click on the Amazon link and buy something, and then you don't have to pay $100. Now it seems like a bargain. You're buying something on Amazon. Instead of giving it $100 a click,
we get them coming, get them going. Yeah. That's what they say in the biz.
I don't know what net neutrality really means, and I don't think most of the people who are really upset about it do either.
I have no idea.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it means it's $1 billion. It means we finally get paid. I don't see what's wrong.
I'm in. Right? Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, we're gonna retire. Once we make all our money off net neutrality, what's step one? Where do we go?
I didn't know it was
Turks and Caicos. Or Jamaica.
You go to a country that has net neutrality, and then you set up a website for free there, and then you wait for them to lose it.
I still don't know what net neutrality is. Does it has it that's good or that's bad?
Okay, we're gonna get a blue shirt on this case.
It's neutral.
It's neutral. I think it's a bullshit word, net neutrality. It sounds great.
It sounds confusing.
Yeah, but there's no. They we don't just, need it.
Here's how you get me on your side. Call it, say good internet, or say. Or bad internet. That's it. That's all I need. Free or unfree.
Right. How's this going to affect porn? That's the other thing.
Is it more porn?
Is porn going to get faster?
Is it going to get better?
Yeah.
Higher production?
Until I see an article that explains that, I don't care about this issue. And all these liberals who are so, like, this is the end of the world ish on this issue. This is the issue. There's so much terrible shit going on that Trump's doing right now. And net neutrality is a thing that everyone.
All they're worried about is their dumb internet connection.
All they're posting on Facebook is like all this about net neutrality. It's like, are you focused on everything else?
Well, here's the thing. It could be the end of the world. I literally
don't
know.
It's not the end of the world.
All I know is
you will not notice it.
$100 a click.
All right.
Okay?
That's good. I'm rich. Can I cut my mustache now?
Yeah. No. You have to keep. Cap, it's growing in. We said we were going to take a picture last week. We did not. We didn't take
a close up. We took a long shot.
You have a full beard. This isn't a mustache.
Yeah. I had a little issue. Because, as I think I mentioned before, I don't have the balls to go full mustache during the week when we're not recording.
Grow some balls.
So I don't shave at all. So I got like a beard. And then my plan is to cut it into a mustache every once in a while. But I didn't want to do it. I had a thing at my kid's school, and I didn't want to show up at the school with a shady mustache. Although I noticed that a lot of the Brooklyn dads have mustaches. So I wanted to wait till afterwards. So I was doing it today, and I took a shower, and I get in the shower, and then I get out, and I go to shave, and I'm all got the cream out, and poof, you hear that noise in the pipes? There's like that little, sounds like your apartment's going to explode. The water was shut off. I was about to shave. I was about to start.
Oh, wow.
So the God stopped intervening. He let me not shave around the mustache, and it was a little bit, I think it's a good thing, though, because if I would have cut off, like, a sideburn, and then the water went out, I don't know what the fuck I would have done.
Did you guys not pay the bill?
Why'd
the water go out?
As I mentioned before, we won a lottery. We live in, like, the projects. We live in, like, the nice, rich version of a projects. So I think every once in a while, they gotta remind the poor people what it's like. So they just cut the water, and there was no explanation. They said they were doing tests, I found out, but I never had a chance to shave, so.
All right, well.
So that's the story. Next week, I swear, a real mustache.
Okay.
I promise the fans.
Sounds good. We're going to get to Lost America in a minute, but I got a couple things to promote. Tonight, I will be at the New York Comedy Club, 7 p.m. Jocelyn Chia from the podcast a couple weeks ago.
All right.
She's going to be there. Joe Schaefer, Gus Tate, Jared Freed. He's got J Train podcast, a bunch of people.
You know who else is going to be there?
Who?
I'm going to be there.
Cap's going to, with mustache.
With mustache. I guarantee it, money back. If I don't show up.
Wow.
And you paid a ticket and
money
know who I am.
Only $100 click on the pod.
Yes, I'm going to. I'll pay your ticket if I don't show up. There's my guarantee.
Wow, fantastic. All right, also thank you to everyone who came out in D.C. last weekend. That was a lot of fun with the Andrew Jones Roy, that show, Andrew Heaton. All right, should we get to Lost in America?
Play the freaking music.
Play the music, De'Aaron Roots. All right, we're back. Kaplan, I'm lost in America this week.
Yes.
Specifically, my laundry is lost in America this week. I need help with this.
Okay, explain.
This never happened to me before in 12 years in China. Any time in my life. Okay, I took my laundry in. First of all, we don't have a laundry thing in the building, right?
Right.
So you have to take it down the street to this guy. You have to go to a laundry place. So I take our laundry to this place. I give it to the guy. I come back the next day to pick
all
it up.
Of your clothes. This is not talking about dry cleaning here. Just to explain
this
to people.
This is not dry cleaning. This is just regular.
This is one of those things where it's by the pounds, right?
Yeah.
They charge you by the pound, and it comes back. Supposed to come back, like, folded. They fold it in the most compact.
Exactly.
I don't know how they do that.
As they would say in Big Lebowski, the dirty undies, dude.
Yeah.
The whites.
Yeah, it comes back, like, it's like miniature version of how you have. It's, like, tight and, yeah.
Yeah, we got sheets. We got everything in there. Sweatshirts, whatever. The whole thing. So then I go back the next day to pick it up. I pick it up. She's like, here's your bag. It's a blue IKEA bag, which I gave it to her. And so I take the bag. I take it home. I put it in there. I go watch TV. Yaya comes home an hour later. She goes in the other room. She opens the bag. She goes, this isn't our laundry. It's like someone else's laundry. So I take the laundry back.
Is it a guy, a girl, or whose clothes are it?
You can't really tell. It's like mixed.
Oh.
So when I take it back.
Which is better, because if it was just some girl, then she'd be like, why do you bring these girls?
Oh, yeah,
you having an affair?
Right.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's good. I'm having a threesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like random laundry. So I take it back to the guy, and we go. Ye and I go back together, and we're like, hey, dude, this is someone else's laundry. The boss is there at this point. And so we're like, we need our laundry. Can you give us our laundry? And he goes, oh, yeah. The problem is you got a blue bag. Like, he blames it on me?
He blames it on your bag?
Yeah, and he goes, everybody's got that IKEA bag, you know?
What's the IKEA bag? Is it IKEA laundry bag? Is all the rage now?
I guess. Everyone, you know. And so then I'm like, so now it's my fault that I have the blue bag. And so I'm like, all right, well, can I just come back behind the counter and look through the other blue IKEA bags to see which one's ours? And he goes, yeah, that's not going to work because sometimes we send it out. I probably already sent it to, like, our other store. And they've already given it out to somebody. So,
but couldn't you just go off the person whose yours was that you made a mistake? Couldn't they call those people up first and be like, did they just do a trade off?
Yeah, that's what I don't know. I didn't think about that. He kind of intimidated me.
Okay.
Because he was trying to make it like it was my fault. He blamed the victim.
Victim blaming.
Yeah.
He didn't talk to you about how I lost your laundry, but I'm going to take down the NRA. Does that sound like a deal?
Yeah, no, none of that. There was no. I realized. So then he's like, I'm going to have to call these other people. He acted like I was giving him trouble.
Oh, my God.
I mean, now I'm going to have to call this other place.
Did he give you a refund?
Nothing. Nothing. So then he goes, I'm going to have to call these other people. So he calls them and he goes, hey, he's on the phone with the other shop. Hey, yeah, I got a new girl in here. She gave the wrong people the stuff. I mean, I don't know. Do you have it? And he's like, No. Oh, yeah, that's what I figured. Okay, no, no.
So he's not even feigning like he's upset?
And then he gets off the phone and he goes, yeah, they don't have it. Listen, it's a waiting game now. We're just going to wait. They'll bring it back. They don't want your stuff.
Was it mostly like underwear and was there anything valuable?
Well, here's the thing. It was mostly sheets and like towels.
Oh.
So they don't have to bring that back.
No,
you could have anyone's sheets and towels.
If you got someone else's underwear, even if it's clean, you're not going to wear it.
Exactly. But sheets and towels, have a heyday,
yeah.
You know? It's a Christmas.
It's a Christmas. Have a heyday. That's what everyone wants for Christmas, sheets and towels.
Exactly. Maybe they're going to college. They're going into the dorms. Maybe they have my same initials. Now they're going to get whatever you call it.
They're monograms?
Monogram.
You have monograms? No.
So I'm like, so Ye and I stand there. We don't know what to do. So we're like, okay, we just kind of like, he does this. Now I understand why, like, how Harvey Weinstein does it.
You really keep everyone on Harvey Weinstein.
No, because he just kind of convinced us it was our fault.
Right.
We kind of believed him. We left. It wasn't until I got home. I was
did he offer you a book deal?
I would have
like a part in a movie, a walk on.
So then I get home. I'm like, wait a second, what happened? Like, he could have, as you said, he could have found out whose other ticket. Right.
At minimum, he should have given you a refund on the spot.
Exactly.
A minimum. It was like $10 or $15, $20, whatever it is.
No refund. Now, my next call is to Blue Shirt because this was yesterday. Nothing today. He says he'll call us when it's in. He's never going to call us. He's just hoping
we go away. It's never going to come in because people aren't going to – I mean, you want to think people are good people and they're going to return it, but I don't know. Does he know for sure that he go through the stuff that he has or he's just waiting until –
He kind of turned around, did like a half a look, right. And then went, nah, I don't have it.
So I have one question. In China, was this an adjustment for you? Like in China, did you send laundry out, or is that a very American? That seems very Western.
I did send like dry cleaning, like you would here.
Right.
Then you hang it up, you know.
Yeah.
So you have your own laundry, but also most of America also does their own laundry. It's this weird thing in my building in New York. They don't have. There's no laundry.
Yeah. No, I used to send it out. I have a. I'm a big shot. I have a.
You are.
We have a laundry in our apartment. I got a washer and dryer, and anyone who has kids has to have that. I don't actually do the laundry, but
yeah.
You know. But here's the thing. I do the dry cleaning, right? So I drop stuff off for dry cleaning all the time, and honestly, like I'm trying to think, like if it never comes back, unless it's like one of my like two favorite shirts, I would never even notice.
Yeah,
like if they literally just never returned it to me, like after I paid, like I'm not keeping track. Like
same.
So and I wonder if like with laundry, if they like ever fuck with people and are just like, I'm gonna take out one like thing in the middle, shirt's gone.
Yaya claims that they're stealing one of her socks every single time, or she's like saying I steal her sock. Which what am I doing with her sock?
Yeah.
So I was telling her, I was like, maybe you should take inventory before everything goes out, so we know what comes back.
It's like they take the way when you rent a car and they take pictures of everything before you leave the lot.
They should do this.
You should do an itemized. I got a picture of every piece of clothing here.
They should do that for you. It should be part of that's a billion-dollar idea. That's a new laundry service, maybe.
Yeah.
But when they don't give anything back, it's like, well, I'm going to notice that. That's like the worst way to steal.
Yeah. Well, I got one bit of good news for you, all right? I'm going to make a promise here without checking with the higher-ups.
Okay.
I know someone, Randy Kaplan.
Ooh.
She's a sheets and towels and all these things designer.
Oh!
Maybe she can provide you if you don't get these back.
Look
maybe
at me,
I can
I'm a big shot.
Pull some strings at the old.
Oh, that would be great.
The old sweatshop over there and see if she can have someone in India churn something out for you.
I'll look the other way if it's free.
All right.
On a sweatshop, that's how you can buy me for pretty cheap.
All right. Nope. No, I think I'm okay to say that. I think we can pull it off. I think we can get it for you.
Okay. Hopefully.
Happy Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
from the Kaplans.
To whoever has my sheets.
Yes, no to you.
And Merry Christmas to me.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And a happy Hanukkah. All right. Should we get to
Ents? It's an app.
Ents is an app. You can get in the app store or wherever you find apps.
Yes.
It's up to 5-minute recordings, audio recordings. You can be voice. You can be singing songs. Ents is very exciting. Has a new deal with America's Got Talent, AGT, the kids call it.
Yeah.
And what they do is, you can ints in, you can sing whatever song
ints
you want.
Ints in your audition, basically.
Ints in your audition. America's Got Talent's listening. If they like your ints, they like your song, boom, you're on the show.
Yeah, just like that.
Simon Cowell or whoever.
So we, though, have been tasked because there's a lot of, ints is a huge app.
It's a huge app.
A lot of people are submitting, obviously. It's a great opportunity. So we've been tasked to be the first frontier.
We're step one.
We're step one. You got to get past us.
If you want to hook up with Bon Jovi, you got to bang.
You got to at least give me a blowjob.
You got to give a hand job.
You got to at least give me a lap
dance. To the technician.
Exactly.
That's us.
That's
What are the roadies?
When is that going to come out? The next thing in the Me Too movement is like, it wasn't a Bon Jovi harassed me. It was like, and I shouldn't say my name. I'm sure blue shirt saying, don't say my name.
It was Rocco.
It was the Rocco.
The technician. Guy spinning the dials. Yeah.
So
that's
anyway.
As old as time.
Yeah. You can't take that away from us. You're never going to get a good roadie anymore. People don't want to string guitars.
There's a reason why they work for free, for pennies on the dollar, loading PV amps across these United States of America.
That's when I know, by the way, we're getting way off topic here, but that's when I know the rock is dead, when they start getting allegations about current musicians, because I feel like no one's done it yet, because rock, that's like part of being a rock star. You still have groupies, you do whatever
you're
want.
Right, it's still something sacred.
It's the last frontier. But when that's over, boy... I'm going to shed a tear for the end of rock and roll.
That but really is the end of an era.
Speaking of rock and roll, though, and an
right,
Ents.
Should we get to the Ents?
Let's play an Ents. Here's some tunes.
You better think. Think about what you're trying to do to me. Think. Let your mind go. Let yourself be free. Let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go way back. Way back when. I didn't even know you. You could have been too much more than 10. I ain't no psychiatrist, I ain't no doctor with degree, but it don't take too much IQ. See what you're doing to me. You better think, woo. Think about what you're trying to do to me. Come on, baby, think. Let your mind go, let yourself be free. Whoa, freedom, freedom, freedom. Oh. Hey, how you doing? My name is Janine Hartman. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And best believe when I touch down on any stage, that's always going to come so much to life, baby. You're not even going to know what hit you.
Janine Hartman.
Wow, that was really freaking good.
Wow.
Passing it through.
Big improvement over last week.
Yeah. Well, first of all, covering Aretha is better than covering Adele.
Yes.
You know, don't bring us any Adele, please, people.
Janine Hartman kicks it straight through the goalpost. Yeah. I say that's a 10. I give it
that
10
was awesome.
Out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the you know, they say, like, you're a star or you're not a star. You hear it? She's a star.
She's got it.
She's got it. And I liked at the end her you know, you got to tell us a little bit about yourself. She sounded like someone who I could see on a TV show, too.
She's got tude. She's got a little attitude.
She's got a little attitude. I can see her getting a little, like, if someone says something negative about her. Her getting a little snappy,
feisty.
Which I like. Good for TV.
Yeah.
Which you got to think about, too.
Look at you. You're a big shot.
I'm a big producer here.
Yeah.
So I'm at the pass. I'm going to call my people. I'm putting her right in the show. Book her.
Put her on the show. In the future, if they want to get in on this, what do they have to do, Cap?
First of all, you got to download Ents.
Get
in. And then you got to you record your thing, and you put it at Singer Express, and then you hashtag AGT.
Hashtag AGT. And I know for a fact they're listening, because I heard the AGT execs, the scouts, inting back to people today.
Oh, the scouts. Yeah,
so
well,
it's for real.
We're going to start inting back to people, too. Yeah. A little surprise. Big star podcasters. That's going to take time.
All right.
Tell you how good you are, or bad.
That's it. Should we get to our guest?
Yeah, let's bring him in. I see him in the halls out there.
Ronnie Chang, come on in. All right, we're back with our guest, Ronnie Chang. Ronnie, welcome back to the show.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me back.
This time in studio.
Yeah. What an impressive studio. I didn't know what to expect. I thought we'd be like recording this in someone's house.
That's what most people say when they come in. They're like, oh, where's your couch?
Well, yeah. You do live here now.
I might be
behind the rent.
Yeah.
We also
they have a kitchen. They got
Randy Lee, who's through the glass right there.
Yeah.
Just helped us because we had a bad audio last week.
He's our sound engineer.
So he's an Emmy-winning sound engineer. Right? I don't know what he won an Emmy for.
Well, he won an Emmy for something else, but yeah, he's won an Emmy. So now we have Emmy-winning sound is the new slogan.
This specific episode, because he just came in and turned the knobs like a little bit, so we didn't fuck it up.
Tweak levels.
Week.
Right, so you claim his credit. That's
exactly.
Cool.
So we met you briefly on stage, which is the weirdest
way to
meet.
Very awkward.
Yeah, it was horrible. That's why I wanted to come back in, because I was like, man, I didn't meet you guys at all. It was like...
That was our fault. We didn't think of that.
Come on, do a set, and then like have a post-game press conference about it, which is probably one of my top three... most irritating things to do.
That was the worst thing you've ever done in your life.
Yeah. No, top three.
Top three.
Yeah, yeah. And I broke my one time. I broke my arm, and this was up there. With that. So
listen to it 2 weeks.
So no,
for
I,
next
I mean,
life pod, that's to people.
Yeah, so you guys, you know, I just wanted to meet you guys properly and have a proper discussion about the interesting perspectives that you guys. Well, the whole premise of this podcast.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, yeah. Well, with you, you said briefly on the live podcast, which we want to talk about, that you grew up. Did you grow up in a border? You in Malaysia, but on the border of Singapore?
Yeah, yeah. All right, no, so Malaysia. So Johor Bahru is the border town. Yeah, yeah.
So but if you're growing up in Malaysia, I want to start there. If you're growing up in Malaysia, you're a kid in Malaysia, can you go to Singapore freely? Or is it like,
no,
it's
can't.
A real...
It's a different country. Yeah.
They have a wall?
Yeah, there's a wall. No, there's a bridge. You can't. You have to cross the bridge. There's only... Well, now there's two bridges. But yeah, there's two bridges you have to cross.
It is a different country.
Two bridges. Yeah,
were you allowed to go? Like, do you need a visa, I guess, to go back and forth?
I went back and forth because I went to Singapore to go to school. So I had the visa to go to school in Singapore. So I could go back and forth. I was commuting between countries to go to school.
Wow.
Yeah.
So were you like a rich kid?
No. That's what you do if you want a... Like, the Singapore education system is more recognized around the world.
Sure.
So and it's also in English, the Malaysia one. You can, you know, if you have money, you go to a private, like, an international school in Malaysia, and you gain social capital for having language skills. But otherwise, you go to Singapore and study. Because Singapore, you know, public schooling is standardized.
Bus that takes you?
Yeah, there's a bus. Oh. It has a Mickey Mouse. If you talk to people who, I think even now, that if you say the Mickey Mouse yellow bus scholar, it goes from Johor Bahru to Singapore. Everyone knows it. It's like this. It has like Mickey Mouse on it. It's probably definitely a copyright infringement.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't even want to send my kids to like Roosevelt Island or if the better the GNT school, the gifted and talented school there, because I'm like, that's too far. Right?
Yeah.
You're going across borders.
Yeah, crossing borders. Yeah. It would be like, I don't know, there's no real great analogy, but it would kind of be like living in Buffalo and then going to Montreal for school.
Yeah.
Across the Niagara Falls.
Yeah. Toronto or something?
Yeah.
Canadian
Is
education.
Is that right? That's right, right?
Yeah. Toronto.
It'd be more
across.
Like Toronto, yeah.
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 Did,
well, the Buffalo schools aren't so great, so it might be a bad idea.
Yeah.
If you've seen the people come out of Buffalo.
How did your family end up in that town, in the border town?
Oh, we, in Malaysia, they were kind of born in, I think they're, it's, okay, they come from different towns in Malaysia. I can say the names. No one here will know what I'm talking about, but I'll just say it anyway. So my mom's born in Kuala Lumpur, and then my dad was born in Sitawan in near Ipoh. And so they both, when they became adults, they moved to Johor Bahru to work. So that's how they both ended up in Johor Bahru.
So it's like a good economy there?
It was near to Singapore. It was like, to be really honest, that's a good question. I don't know why they moved. I think they just wanted to get out. Again, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. It would be like, leaving the capital of the country, so leaving, I know New York's not the capital, but it's, you know, Kuala Lumpur is technically the busiest city. Leaving Kuala Lumpur to go to like Texas, bordering Mexico, except Mexico is like a first world country. I don't know.
How big is the town?
Johor Bahru?
Yeah, it's like a big city.
If it's anything, Johor Bahru, Bahru means new in Malay, so it was like a new town.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, how big it is, I don't actually know. Like it's I thought it was big, but it's actually really small relative, you know. But it would be like, man, I don't even know what the population is now. But it's a small town. Like we have one business district that's not, you know, it's not that big a town. Yeah.
And is it like a small town like mentality where it's like, oh, we got to get out if you want to do something, like that's why you go to Singapore? Is Singapore seen as like this big like thing to conquer or whatever?
Not so much conquer, but Singapore is like a first world country. Well, so I mean, my parents remember before Singapore used to be part of Malaysia, then it became their own country. So there's a lot of history there. It's a very new country. Singapore was founded in 1965.
Oh.
So they still remember when Singapore was part of Malaysia. They remember when Singapore just left Malaysia, and it was actually Malaysia was more developed than Singapore in terms of currency exchange rate and all that stuff. And then Singapore just kind of blew up over 40 years into this first world, like, balling, you know.
City.
Yeah, city. Yeah. So when I went there in the 90s, it was because Singapore was a very stable and developed country. The education system was recognized globally. So if you got an education in Singapore, the idea was you could kind of travel around the world. You could go to university overseas easier.
Yeah.
That was kind of like that mentality behind it. Just in short, like a better education system in Singapore. In short, was what my parents thought decided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but yeah. I went to the top of the building in Singapore. It's the three pillars.
Oh, the Marina Bay Sands.
The Marina Bay Sands.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see into Malaysia.
Sure, yeah.
It's such a small place. Mm. The whole place is a city, mm. right? And so it's like looking into New Jersey from the top of
yeah,
a building.
Yeah.
On top of
but I mean, the good analogy is Manhattan, New Jersey. But the yeah. only thing is that it's not a perfect analogy because New Jersey is not a different country.
Right.
But I mean, it's exactly like that. It's that a causeway away. You can see, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like if New York City was its own country.
Yeah.
Which
it kind
of
is. Yeah. yeah. But I know you guys are more worldly than most. So, you know, I'm sure you guys can understand this concept. But most Americans or whoever, like, you know, there's no point of reference when you talk about Asia, much less Southeast Asia. You know, when you talk about Southeast Asia to Americans, there's no point of reference. Like,
what do they think? What do you?
They don't know. They don't know where Singapore is. They don't know where Malaysia is. And again, I don't blame them. Like, why would they know? It's not their world, right? So why would they know? But if you say, oh, you know, Singapore is below Malaysia, which is below Thailand, which is below China, like, there's still no concept of Southeast Asia is so. It's so foreign, huh?
That's like when I went to when I went to college in Florida I grew up in California,
yeah.
And I would say like, oh, I'm from Sacramento, and people would be like, oh, it's like a suburb of LA.
Yeah,
it's like 8 hours away.
8 hours away.
You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
if you don't know that, like, it's gonna be hard to
Americans
know.
Americans don't know Southeast Asia mostly until they start going on honeymoons.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's oh, Vietnam, oh,
honeymoon,
Thailand,
or
oh,
like college kids, like you're now like
backpacker type,
yeah,
yeah, or like, but that's more, yeah.
I guess Vietnam, yeah. I mean, America would know Vietnam.
Vietnam, they kind of, or older Americans.
But
I don't
maybe
know
if not where it is. Oh, yeah, older Americans. Like, but the one thing is, like, people don't backpack in Singapore because it's too expensive. I don't
right.
think.
Well, when you can't chew gum, I mean, you're a backpack there.
Yeah. You don't want to backpack a place you can't.
It's like
chew
wildly, yeah. Like a
you get caned.
Yeah. yeah.
Getting caned is not part of the backpack.
Did they think of you when you were in school? Yeah. Were you seen as like an outsider because you're from Malaysia? Or
yeah.
Not at all.
No, no. When I went back to Singapore, it was after spending 4 years in New Hampshire. So I went back there not as a. First of all, you can tell Malaysians from Singaporeans. You can actually tell. Like, it's obvious, especially when you're kids.
By speaking? Or what?
Yeah, the accent is subtly different. The values are subtly different. Just like anywhere, there's a lot of jingoism that comes with, like, oh, you know, these goddamn foreigners coming in here. You know,
so you were saying
anywhere.
A goddamn foreigner?
Yeah, but the problem is that because I was in America for 4 years and I came back directly from America, you have all this social capital, rightfully or wrongfully so. It's the same social capital white expats get in Asia. Mm. It's the same social capital that American-born Chinese people get in Asia.
Yeah.
That I guess I kind of experienced it. But I've seen both. I think I'm kind of lucky that I've seen both sides of the coin. But I'll explain that later. But when I went back to Singapore, I was like a U.S.-educated kid. So there's all this social capital that comes with, you know, knowing the language better, being more outgoing, or whatever the hell it is, you know, that you get. So I was very much a foreigner there, but in a good way, kind of like you kind of benefit from the.
You were like a cool foreigner.
Yeah,
you've
I can't
been
believe
in America.
Yeah, but I can't believe I'm saying this, but you kind of benefit from that, and I can't. This is actually the first time in my life I've ever used this word, but you benefit from that white privilege that you experience in Asia. I mean, and that's why I'm interested to hear your experience as a white expat in Asia. Like, I'm very familiar with that. And I've only been able to describe it and identify it as an adult.
Yeah.
That's what it is. This weird love-hate relationship in Asia, especially Southeast Asia with the West, in that Southeast Asia was a British colony for a long time. And I mean, Philippines was an American colony, and there's a Dutch colony. So it was a Western colony for a long time, and there's this weird power dynamic in Asia, Southeast Asia, of like, you know, not liking the white people, but also kind of for some reason like respecting them for setting up all these institutions. And usually when the white people were in Southeast Asia, they were like the head of the company. Expats is who you send to you know, take care of like the guy in charge. So there's this interesting like fuck these guys, but also I want their approval. There's this interesting power dynamic in Asia.
Is it seen? Well, first of all, so I could from mainland China where I was.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw it change because I went there in 2004.
Yeah.
And I stayed through 2016.
Yeah.
And when I got there in 2004, it was exactly what you're saying. Mm. It was this idea that I think they even said, like, welcome your foreign friends was a phrase that the government was pushing out.
Right.
You know, and the president was saying it, like, you need to, foreign guests, that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
Welcome our foreign guests. And that meant white guests, basically. Right. It didn't mean, like, African people. And so you were really, as, like, a 22-year-old, which I was, like, just got out of college, you're treated, like, all of a sudden you're at dinner with, like, the heads of company, like, Chinese heads of, like, the local factory and all that stuff. And because they kind of want to show you off to the other, to, like, I would get calls at 8 a.m. from my boss and be like, we have a government lunch at 11 a.m. You're coming.
Right, right.
Because you need to be there to prove that I have foreigners that work for me.
Yes.
To, you know.
It gives them social capital.
It gives them,
social capital. It's social capital.
What they call it out there, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, look at your face, I mean.
But, yeah. So they want the white guy. But then, but then I definitely saw that in mainland China, it shifted for sure. Like, I was, because I ran a company there. I ran Mr. Softy, ice cream trucks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Thank you. So I was in all these meetings, and then there was some point around 2012, really after the economy crashed, 2008. Uh-huh. But so 2009, 10, definitely 11, 12, where I started not getting the calls for the meetings that I used to, they used to demand I would be at.
Yeah.
Later on, I wasn't invited to anymore. Because it was seen as, well, you don't need the foreigner. Like, let's just do this ourselves, you know?
You sure they didn't find a younger foreigner?
No, because it was happening across
the
board.
You lost the shine.
So many people I know. Yeah. And I don't say, like, I would never complain about that because I didn't complain about benefiting in the first place, you know? Yeah. But I know so many people who are gone that, like, Americans, whatever, who are gone now because it happened to their businesses, too.
Sure. We can, I mean, we can talk about that. It's very interesting to me as well because I can definitely... I understand what you're describing right there of that there's this movement in Southeast Asia in the 90s. A lot of white expats would come to Singapore. A lot of them for business, but a lot of them also were... There's this term in Hong Kong called filth. It means failed in London, try Hong Kong. And it was a bunch of these dudes.
That's awesome.
I'm going to say you British people in this case.
Yeah.
British people who came.
Let's show them.
And it was they're running from something.
Right.
In the reason they're not at home is because they're running from some shit they did. And
I didn't
they come
know
to
she
Asia.
Was 13.
And I say the word social capital a lot because I just learned it, so I'm trying to show it off. But it describes it perfectly, that kind of idea of like, oh, he's the foreigner, and his English is really good, and he has seen these situations before. He must know what he's doing, and there's a lot of deferment to him.
Yeah.
And that's the initial path. I mean, I'm talking in terms of stand-up comedy. Let's just say stand-up comedy in Asia. They will come I think it applies to many industries, but let's just say stand-up comedy, which is a really interesting, as you guys understand, very interesting kind of field to be in. They come and say, oh man, this guy knows how to set up gigs. He knows what a joke is supposed to look like. He's very confident from people. Oh, he's the master. Let's learn from him. And then, you know, and he sets up the comedy. And after a couple of years, people start to realize, oh, this guy, he's not a good person, you know. And then it fades. And then, you know, I'm not going to name names here, but...
I know exactly who you're
talking about. It fades, and then people go, oh, and you can't, you know what I mean? And now we know what you are now. We know what you are. You're the guy who...
Yeah.
You're not the pro. Your attitude is terrible, and there's a reason you had to leave London. And, you know, and so that happens a lot in Asia. And I think that happens across all businesses as well, of like... People going like, we're not impressed just because you're the foreign Westerner anymore. Like,
for sure,
that's the attitude of that, which I think is
they don't Google people. They don't Google people though. They don't see like look up.
To make it a true meritocracy, I think it's good. You know, there's a lot of deferment to people in the West just because they're from the West. A lot of especially the older generation going to Asia was like, all you people are third world country people. Listen to us. We know what you're doing.
Who has the most social capital in there? The Americans or the British? Or are we both about
depends on where you are.
Yeah.
Depends on where you are. And it's a good question.
And
to be honest,
different.
Yeah.
It's like same thing. Okay.
Yeah. The same thing.
People thought I was British.
Right.
Yeah. All around China, they think I'm. People like think
I mean,
I'm. If
pale.
I just say guess,
right.
They always guess British, and they say because British people wear collared shirts and Americans wear T-shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you dress like you're British.
How much about Jews? Do we have social capital or is it?
Oh, that's a good. What did they think of Jews in
Jews are just white people.
Oh,
in
really?
Asia, Jews are white people.
That's awesome.
You couldn't. I didn't grow up with Jewish people, so Jewish people are just white people.
Right.
Like, in mainland China, they would say there's a city called Ningbo, which is like a port town. and the people that are really wealthy.
Yeah.
And they would always say that Ningbo people were the Jews of China. Jews,
yeah. China,
when I taught high school kids, they all said that. They're like, oh, like Ningbo, there are Jews because they're rich.
Right. They thought
so it's just seen as like rich.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's like a really vague understanding.
Yeah. Right.
It's just like work hard, make a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, all right. I'll take that. That's a compliment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's another aspect too, which is not just the foreign, like not just the failed Westerners who go to Asia and try to make it sound like they're experts. There's also a group of like a whole demographic of successful Westerners who move to Asia because they're head of banks and all that, and their children grew up in Asia.
Oh yeah, those kids.
And I mean,
those
not
kids.
Just
bratty expat kids.
I mean, I'll keep it very specific with firsthand examples from my personal experiences, like doing shows in Hong Kong. I've done shows three years in a row, going to Hong Kong to perform. Love Hong Kong. Hate performing to Australian expats in Hong Kong.
Yeah, they,
I can't speak for any other type of expat, but the Australian expats in Hong Kong were just awful. The
most
self-entitled, like rude. Man, would not like literally going on stage. They would the whole show like a lineup of five comics from Australia. We're not Hong Kong based people. We came from Australia to perform in Hong Kong.
Oh, the Melbourne
roadshow. Yeah. They would literally go on stage.
They fly in people from Melbourne, Australia, okay, from their comedy festival to come, in.
Come and perform. And going on stage, she would stick out her foot to trip everyone going on stage. Yeah, and
really?
Then you're doing your set.
Who would do that? Like the host?
No, the audience member. Yeah, I'm not even kidding. It's like all five of us should try to trip us as we're going on stage. Prepare a good fall. Just man, the entitlement is like no consequences.
Is it?
We don't give a fuck. Oh. You know? Well, we can. We're here. We have cash. Everyone here in Hong Kong is rude to me because, you know, Hong Kong people, if you can't speak Cantonese, Hong Kong is a very abrupt place.
Yes.
Like New York. And Hong Kong is very much like the Asian New York, and people can be very abrupt, and it's not personal. It's just how they do things. And if you don't know any better, it can seem very rude. You know, I can understand why you think Hong Kong is rude. I think Hong Kong can be pretty rude sometimes. Like it's hard to get by in Hong Kong because everyone's very abrupt. And you put up with that for a couple of years. You start going, fuck that. I'm just going to be rude back. And then everyone becomes like your, you know, second class citizen to you. And also when you're an expat, you can leave, man. There's no consequences. You do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. And then you're like, shit goes down, we go home. You know?
I know multiple stories of people, specifically a Hong Kong expat comic who got arrested.
Oh, right. I know about that story, too.
He smashed a guy in the face with a beer.
A guy in the audience?
He smashed a heckler in the face with a Carlsberg glass.
Oh, the bottle?
Pint glass.
Oh, okay. One of those long glasses.
Took a pint glass, smashed them in the
face.
Carlsberg
good.
Yeah.
Smashing.
How thick those are.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I actually know that guy, and I met him a couple times, and he never shout out to
that guy. I know. Yeah, yeah.
He never came across as having a shitty attitude at all.
If somebody tripped you,
that's what I wouldn't say.
But wait, is he tripped? Because if you get tripped on stage, I mean, what would your reaction be? Like, I would come.
Maybe he was tripped by an Australian.
Yeah,
all this stuff was performing three times in Hong Kong. Every show there will be these dumbass heckles, and I know the energy. I know the energy of those heckles, and that energy was the. You know, we own this place. We have, especially if you're the Chinese guy on stage, it's like.
Do you think
the power dynamic is really different? Yeah, they're like, you know, we don't care what's happening. We're just a bunch of animals here. That energy, you know, there's no consequences. We can do whatever we want. We're accustomed to doing whatever we want, and we're gonna continue doing whatever we want. And if you call us out, you're being a weirdo. Because this is how we live here. That energy.
They're making Americans look a little better.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, no. I think as expats, I would actually like to know your opinion. Yeah. I think Americans as expats, at least the ones I've around Asia, are more respectful. But I could be wrong.
American expats in Asia,
younger.
And I'm overgeneralizing here, right. Very much innocent ignorance that is annoying but comes from like a... Like, you guys have Netflix here? Yeah, you guys you guys got like online shopping here? You guys use credit cards here? Yeah, that's cool. Like, it's rarely like actually maliciously shitting on someone, but it's always this like, hey, you guys have this? Oh, yeah, cool. That's cool. Like, it's the ignorance of like, of assuming that there's no, you know, anything advanced or Western in technology is not present in Asia. Is that kind of like, you guys get that here? oh, you guys eat like, oh, okay, cool.
Like a pure ignorance.
Yeah, yeah. Like I will join in, but I will also be like, oh, this is really weird. And it's like, no, this isn't weird. The way we, like the eating, like the food that we eat, it isn't weird. Like this, like char kway teow, wantan mian, this isn't weird. Yum cha is not weird.
Yeah.
You're weird. You're
it's
the
just
weirdo.
The food.
Yeah, it's just the food, you know.
One thing have you been to
Asia?
I've been to Thailand.
Okay.
That's only really only, and I, well, I've been to Kuala Lumpur. I was in the airport, but not. Okay. Had a good slice of Sbarro pizza in the airport. But I was in Thailand. I was just thinking of it when you were telling that story. I remember there was like a, there was this area where there people were riding on water buffaloes.
Yeah.
And I just remember this American guy who I think was trying to be like nice, but it was like, so he was like, we shouldn't be doing this. It's like, if they came to our country, we wouldn't be like, come work at McDonald's. As if like the equivalent is like, like everyone in this country just rides over water buffaloes all day, at, like the way we like eat at McDonald's. It's just a weird.
You were like looking. You were taking a tour.
People were doing. People watch. They were offering you like a thing where you could ride on them, and this guy was like trying to be like, that's offensive. It'd be like if I took a Thai guy to like go eat at McDonald's. Like, it's like a weird. Like he thinks everyone in the country is.
Don't they do like ghetto tours of L.A.? I've heard about that. It's like tourists can come and like take a picture of like the ghetto, like the
in
LA,
South.
Like, yeah, like
didn't Storm
like
Shoe do that? What
he
said?
Yeah, he did.
Training day. The training day tour. Yeah.
So maybe that's more of a cool
one. But I was only in Thailand on a honeymoon actually. So and I was I need to come back. I need to go to China.
We got to go back and do a live podcast in Shanghai.
Right.
Live from Shanghai.
Right, right.
At the Kung Fu Club. You were saying something. First of all, back to the dirty expat or the filth, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
In the town I was living in China, in Suzhou, we had two American pedophiles living there at the same time.
Sure.
And
they were competing.
On the run. <It's like> they were competing for...
Right.
You know, it's like when you're like, there's like two quarterbacks go up in the same small town. You're like, how did Dan Marino and... it's like two of the top pedophiles in the same small town.
They were the two most dangerous.
Yeah.
I think at least one was America's Most Wanted, top 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The other guy was upset. He's like, I gotta
kill. And to me, is a you don't have this growing up as a white person in America. Like, you don't have that responsibility for your race.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. Totally.
Like, if
totally.
Another white person does something,
totally.
Who gives a shit? Yeah. But when you're in Asia and that's you're the minority, you do.
That's a good perspective. That's
and
a good
so,
point.
So, like, I would get pissed. I hate those people more than anybody.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. Because, or like, Russian would, like, a Russian white guy would attack somebody on a train.
Right.
And you go to work the next day and everyone would be like, oh, did you hear about the white guy on the train?
Right.
You're
right.
Like, he's from Russia.
Right, right.
I'm from America. Like, have you read the news? Right. We don't even like them.
Well,
that's a great
take. That's a dated take by you. They knew. No, they knew the Russians.
But it's true.
But
like,
you should, if you knew about it, you should just let the FBI. I'm sure there's a little nice reward in it for catching those guys.
No, here's the thing. I was in front. He was a big muscle dude.
Yeah.
With a mustache. He didn't even change his name.
Right.
Didn't even shave his mustache.
Yeah.
And he was
I gotta shave it.
He was like Mr. Bodybuilder Seattle in 1984 or something like that.
Right.
And then I knew who he was.
Right.
If I would have seen a picture, it was like $1 million reward.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the picture, and then he got arrested, and then the next day, like, every expat in our whole town is like a witch hunt. Everyone went online trying to figure out who the next pedophile was.
That's all.
get the money, you know?
That's hilarious.
And we couldn't do it, and then there was another guy.
There's an easy way. You just send a kid over door to door to each guy and see who invites him in. Do selling cookies
today.
Or something.
Today.
Then you're like, okay, you be ready. Don't let him go too far.
Yeah. So when you started getting into comedy, did you start in Malaysia?
I started in Australia.
Oh, you started in Australia.
Yeah. So my sensibility is very, very much, very Australian.
Did you go to Australia? How old were you when you went to Australia?
I went to Australia when I was 18.
Okay. And you had already been in New Hampshire before that, or you were?
Yeah, I spent like 4 years as a kid in New Hampshire. Then I went back to Singapore. I was the good immigrant.
Right.
After my term was done, we went back to Asia.
What was the reason you went to New Hampshire? Was it just...
Oh, my parents went to college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my parents went to college there. That's why. I thought I mentioned that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember what we talked about.
No, it's okay.
Where'd they go?
They went to this community college in New Hampshire. Has since been absorbed into University of Southern New Hampshire.
Wow.
But back then, it was its own community college. Yeah. And these... You know, my parents applied from Malaysia. They were like... Let's go get our degrees. And they went to college in their late 30s when they had two kids. So that's why
did they just apply? Jeez. Like, did they just pick the school specific, or was it kind
of
like a...
I asked my dad about it once, and if you can even imagine this back in the day of like no internet, no computers, so just like a newspaper ad in Malaysia advertising a American community college, and he was trying to pick between two. I can't remember what his other choice was. And he was like, oh, yeah, I would like to do, I think he did economics undergrad or something like that. And then he did his master's in economics. But he was like, oh, yeah, I want to go to America to study because in the late 80s was kind of like, the late 80s to mid 90s was the last gap of like studying overseas was a big deal. After that, everyone did it. But I feel that late 80s was still like a huge deal to have a Western education in Asia.
In Malaysia.
Yeah. I mean, that was before everyone had it. But and so he was like, okay. And this guy, you know, my dad, man, self-funded it. You know, he didn't come from a wealthy family. And then he kind of applied, got in, like flew, you know, 30 hours in shitty in late 80s planes from New Hampshire. And then landed
with
there
kids.
Into the in a dorm room. Like, again, imagine no computer, no phone.
You guys all lived in the dorm?
This is a great
TV
show.
He went by himself. He went by himself. He had to leave us for a bit. And then he went there just to set up.
Okay, and he sent for you?
Yeah, and then like, okay, I figured it out. Okay, come over now. And, you know, it took like a couple years for everyone to come over. But he was just there just studying on his own.
So he couldn't so he had to stop working and just
yeah, he just he went over there to study. And, well, a great move by him because it turned out for the he went from kind of running a small business to like becoming a corporate guy, you know, and meaning you know working for himself, and then he went the reverse entrepreneur of like I'm gonna go work for someone.
Okay.
I gotta go get education.
What were your impressions of America when you came?
I loved it, man. Yeah. I loved it. I was so sad. I didn't want to leave. When we left, it was I was lied to. I was like, oh, we're just leaving for a little bit, and then we never went back. Yeah. Never went back to. We left, and then we ended up in Singapore. Yeah, for 10 years.
When did you come back?
When did
like last? When did you move?
Yeah, I moved here 2 years ago.
All right, but before that, you never been back.
No, I've
been
back.
You come back to visit or no?
No. I came to New York to do a New York bar exam in 2012, but not really. I mean, not really the same as living here, right? Like
wow. You
know, yeah. But and then what was interesting was that so I left New Hampshire in 93. And then in 2016, we did a Daily Show thing in New Hampshire. We were covering a debate that was happening in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Something was happening in New Hampshire. Yeah. I can't remember now. And then I got to go. Oh, I did a show at University of Southern New Hampshire or something. I did a stand-up show somewhere. And anyway, long story short, I went back to my childhood home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after over 20 years. Yeah, I haven't been back. So and still there, same apartment, the same lake, the same park.
Did he
was still there? Yeah, it was great.
Yell at them about how they decorated the place?
I tried to get in, but it was weird. I didn't want to knock on the door. I went all the way to the door. I didn't knock because I didn't want to disturb whoever's inside. Yeah,
I've never done that. Yeah. I've always thought about like returning to old homes.
Home homes?
Yeah, I was like staying outside, like creeping. And,
yeah, and it's so hard to explain. I mean, I think I would pride myself on being able to explain why I'm there to someone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know if I want to like disturb. Well, also, who knows what the fuck is happening inside?
You should tell them. You're Daily Show.
Did you have an? Did you like develop an American accent for the few years you were here?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, and I don't know what I am now. I obviously not American. Oh, and that was what I was getting at was that I've experienced both sides of the coin in that in Asia I'm like the whitest guy in Asia.
Yeah.
In Asia, it's like
than Turner.
Other than Turner,
I'm the whitest guy in the world.
Yeah. Other than Turner, I'm like the whitest guy in Asia. So it's always like, oh, this guy, he's the he's this American guy. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and then in Australia, and in America, I become the most Chinese guy in America. Like when people talk to me, it's like, oh, this guy's the most Asian dude, and I'm like, that's so weird because in Asia, I'm considered the most Western guy in Asia. When I'm in Asia, they're like, oh, this guy he's not one of us. He's a fucking American. Yeah.
So you go to Australia, and then I guess was it law school and comedy?
Yeah.
And you got into comedy.
By the way, law school in Australia is undergrad. So that's, you know, I went there as a kid. Yeah.
I wonder why they have such terrible lawyers.
Yeah.
Just go to.
Go very young.
So you went to undergrad. So where'd you go to? Which city in Australia?
Melbourne,
okay.
Australia, yeah.
And then when did you start going back to
Melbourne?
Like, because when I, 2014, I think I got out of China and started touring around Asia for comedy.
Oh, okay.
And I started and that's when I kind of started going to Singapore, Malaysia, right. Hong Kong, all that.
Yeah.
And, but I assume you were probably already, you were long gone. Like, when did you start comedy, and then when did you start going back to Asia for comedy?
I did comedy in 2009 in Australia. That's when I started. And I only toured Asia, like, maybe, well, I say only, but it's, well, I guess pretty quick, like 2013, 2014, I think. Maybe 2012, maybe. But more likely 2013, 2014 was when I was actually going back to Asia to do it. And I was very much like I just wanted to do a show on my own name and not, you know, and just promote it myself and do my own theater show the way I was doing it in Australia at the time. So in Australia, I was doing these theater tours, and that's a very UK style of comedy to do theater tours. And so I just wanted to replicate that in Asia, as opposed to doing, in Asia, they're doing like American style, like here's a comedy night, and then there's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying they would do like a comedy show of either showcase shows of 12 minutes each, or, you know, the opener feature 20 minutes and the headliner 45 minutes. And I was like, I just want to go in and trade off my own name, and I don't care if I don't make a lot of money, I just wanted to build on that, because that's how I did it in Australia. I would just keep doing that until I did theaters. So I just do my own theater tour.
So what does that mean, a theater tour? I don't totally know.
Oh, it means you do a one-hour show in a theater. Like, in my case, I would do like, I do like 2,000 seats, and then do like two shows a night, or and maybe do a weekend, or depending on my schedule, or how well I sell in that market, you know, how big the city is. And you go in and you do your shows and you get out, and it's just you. You do a one-hour show.
No opener.
No, I mean, it for me, I would have an opener, but that's very unusual by Australian standards to have some guy come in, open, okay, in a one-hour show. Yeah, and I was touring very much in the festival circuit of Australia. So, you know, like the Brisbane Comedy Festival, Melbourne Comedy Festival, Sydney Comedy Festival. So I was trying to get the synergy from those festivals. And they always, I was very lucky, they always supported me and, you know, promoted me as part of the festival. So it's a little bit easier to sell tickets when you're part of that festival. There's a certain momentum that comes with that. And then eventually I could trade off my own name and just, you know, just come into a city and sell a show. And I'd rather do a show to people who want to be there and, you know, my own fans. And then even if it means a little bit less money, because the idea is that next time you come around, in Australia we would do every year, which is a crazy pace, do a new hour every year. But the idea being that if you do a good show, next time you come around, you double your numbers. And then And that's what happened in Australia. So I was trying to do that in Asia. And again, when I went to Asia, it was to do comedy. I love going back there. I had no idea how it would be received. You know, it wasn't really developed in Asia. There was also an element of like, I'm just going to do the comedy that I've been doing in Australia. If it doesn't work in Asia, you know, what can you do? You know, you can't win them all, I guess. So what I was trying to say was that when I went back to Asia, it was experiment / you know, having fun / I was trying to convince myself low stakes, you know, like don't make it into this big deal. Like because I didn't intend to, I was doing stuff in Australia anyway. I was getting a lot of TV work. So there was no point. It's not like I was going to move back to Asia and base myself out of there anyway. For me, it was very much like a extension of my comedy tour. So I would just go there. That was my business model for it anyway. So
There's no reason to tailor your act to Asia. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, in my case, I don't... look, comedy, there's no right or wrong answer. It's an art form. You got to feel it out. But I don't think, in my case, where I'm talking about personal experiences, there's nothing... I can't tailor it. And even if I wanted to, I couldn't tailor it. I'm just going to do a comedy I like to do. And, you know, you find your fans. And I'm lucky. I think when I do my shows in Asia, most people like it. You know, I don't know. Maybe some people hate it. I'm sure some people hate it.
You always do it in English, though.
Yeah,
right?
Always in English. Yeah. I did it in Chinese in Beijing, for one time. But
with Des Bishop,
Des Bishop. Yeah,
he's been on the pod.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah,
but, friend of the pod.
Yeah, but it depends on how you know, your philosophy of comedy, where you are, your comedy abilities at that point. Where are you confident and knowledgeable enough to say, I'm just gonna back myself, and if you don't like it, I know it's. It's not that it's not because I suck. It's just that it's just not. It just that sometimes it's just too foreign. It's just too foreign, and it doesn't work out. But I'm lucky that it's always kind of worked out. But basically, what I'm saying is that I don't believe for me personally, I would never tailor it. I'm just gonna do a comedy I like to do. But that's not to say that for someone else, maybe they are tailoring something that works out. You know, I'm not gonna claim like I have all the answers. Yeah. Yeah.
What were you doing? So you weren't doing. You were doing like you were booking your own theaters.
I feel like I'm hogging this podcast.
No.
This is good. We talk all the time.
People
are sick of
I got a sore throat anyway. So carry it.
Cap's playing hurt. I'm
sick of the tea here.
Were you working on the art department for the comedian? Or you just got the T-shirt?
No, I was on the. Was working on the movie. This is the shirt. I work for Robert De Niro. Actually, that's my day job.
That's awesome.
So, but this is the crew shirt everyone got.
I was on the set when he was filming that.
At
the underground when he was filming the scene when he walks in and Jessica Kirsten.
Oh, I was there that night.
I was in the table right next to the stage. Jimmy Carr.
Did you go on that night or were you just?
I was performing around the corner and then Chris Rock came in and then he was like. Yeah. Oh, they're filming the comedian around the corner.
Okay, yeah.
And then everyone got up and was like, hey, you should come. And then And then I just went and sat down. I sat down during the scene. Were you? Jimmy Carr was there as well.
Okay, yeah. You weren't in the audience though, right? You were like.
I was in the audience, but like, presumably as an extra. I don't think we were on camera because after about halfway through, like some people started leaving. I'm like, oh, if it was on camera, they'd never let us leave because they need continuity. But
yeah,
so I guess we're off camera.
It was a cool scene. It was a scene where like, did you see the movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He comes in and then Bob comes in and he's heckling the comic. Or she's heckling him, I guess. Yeah, he's with the young girl. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird to say she's because she was on stage, so she's heckling him. But
right.
Yeah.
Because she knows because he's playing a comedian though. Yeah. So
he's in the audience. Oh, she's like talking to him.
Yeah. She's Jessica Kirsten's performing in the scene as a stand-up, and then Robert De Niro's character comes in, and then Kirsten gives him shit for you know whatever.
Because he's with a young girl.
Yeah. And then
where's my screener?
Yeah. Pay for it. I need to. You got
it out for like a year.
Still, I need to buy it.
I'm still waiting.
Well, it's interesting. Robert De Niro jumped on stage to do an actual set at the Cellar to prep for the role.
Yeah.
And so he did a.
I didn't. Wasn't there for that. Unfortunately.
Yeah. That was. No, well, I think he did really well.
Because the night that we're talking about, I think it was like that night, there was like a flyer went out that was on Instagram or something where like it made it seem like he was going to perform that night. And he didn't. So it was like all these people were, it was very confusing.
A lot of people stayed up very late.
Yeah, it went really late.
To watch Robert De Niro do stand up.
And I was thinking, like, amazing. There's no way he's going to do stand up at like 3 in the morning, I don't think.
No, he did. He did. One night he did.
One night he did. That was different. Yeah. That was more than
I was around the corner from that. I didn't
see. Oh, okay.
Yeah. We would go, like, he would go to, like, watch a lot of comics at the Cellar. Yeah, he did a lot of research. So
you sent him out to Hong Kong.
We should have had him watch you. The movie might have come out better.
Yeah, exactly.
People tripping Robert De Niro as he goes on stage.
See how he handles that.
That's the sequel.
That's the part two.
He's so struggled. He goes to Asia, becomes a huge shit.
He becomes a dirtbag, maybe because of pedophile. and then he has to escape to Asia.
All right, let's go write that down. I know everyone who made that movie. We'll go into work on that. But
so
anyway,
so you were touring Asia at the time.
Yeah, for a little while before I came out here.
Right.
Do you think it was? Is there like some thing with Australians where like if they see another the tall poppy thing? Is that what might have been? That like the audience, or it's just like
maybe,
or is it more like the Hong Kong? This
maybe.
Is our.
Maybe it was a tall poppy thing. I think it was a more kind of young expat thing. They were like these guys were either kids of successful people, like successful Western expats, or they were successful people themselves. You know, just the way they dress and conduct. The energy, I recognize the energy signature.
Yeah.
You know, I know what that is. You know, I was around a lot of my friends. I went to law school. A lot of my friends became Australian expats in Hong Kong. So I know exactly what that scumbag, you know, energy is.
Yeah. Turner just loves to work the tall poppy reference into every podcast.
I do. So I try to get one in.
I would like to
that's
do
not an American
game.
Thing, right? There's no,
no
tall
I think
poppy
I learned
America.
It. Oh, no, we don't. Yeah, Boston.
There's tall poppy in Boston?
Yeah, because I think that, I mean, there definitely is. And my theory is it's because of the Irish influence on Boston. All my friends from Boston have that, like, oh, you're better than me. What?
Right. How did you know? How did you know about tall poppy in Australia?
Oh, I have a lot of Australian friends from Asia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's friends with the tripping lady, actually.
Oh, you're friends with that's
he
your
sent
cousin.
Her out there to sabotage.
No, so someone told but I felt that
Yo,
term.
I'll tell you another example just so people don't think that I'm just making cherry picking one thing. Every show there'll be an incident when you do. And we did two sometimes three shows a night for like a week in Hong Kong. And one of the shows this person starts heckling before halftime. So this dude is drunk and wasted and like the heckle that's interrupting the show, you know, not, you know, it's a totally disruptive thing. And then it turns out that guy was the partner of the media officer from the Australian consulate.
Jesus.
Oh, so we're talking government officials.
Trump-like government officials.
Literally watching the show to support the Australian show in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And still being like that, you know what I mean? Like even at that kind of level of there's still that lack of the lack
you
of
you guys
decorum.
Are doing like a cultural goodwill thing of like these comedians this is Australia's export of comedy.
Yeah, and then the Australian consulate's, you know, dude is and he got kicked out at halftime. And I know
halftime?
The yeah, and
that's another thing. We don't have a halftime.
Yeah, they have a halftime break, and then the I know the media officer was very like embarrassed by it. You know,
so. You know what we got to do? We got to go around the block. There's an Outback Steakhouse right here by the Ents headquarters, and we just got to go start heckling them. We're coming to where you work, right. Australian people.
Australians,
yes, sir. Authentic.
I think in America there seems to be more of like if you know somebody who's like successful in some way,
right.
You like are more like bragging about.
Yeah, yeah.
You
America.
Know? It's almost like the flip.
Right.
Oh, yeah. America has flipped to Australia for sure. America,
yeah.
Especially show business. America, you have to be constantly pitching yourself. You have to be constantly telling people why you're the best. To the point where if you don't tell me why you're the best, it literally becomes the other side of the energy becomes why am I talking to you?
Yeah.
You know, like, why am I even talking to you if you don't think you're the best and you have nothing to contribute? Why am I even speaking to you right now? That's literally the energy I get in America.
Wow, really?
Especially in show business. Yeah, yeah.
We've got to add that to the intro.
We're the best. Show business.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's why we keep bringing Weber on. We just advertise all our successful people we know.
So
and that's the opposite to Australia. Australia would never talk yourself up. You would never. The idea of networking to get something out of someone in Australia is. It's a very new concept that's slowly seeping in because of the Silicon Valley entrepreneurship culture. But in Australia, if you go, hey, let's just meet up and like you meet up and you don't ask anything from him. In America, if you meet up and you don't ask something, like if there's no exchange of favors, it's literally in America, it's like, why do we meet up?
Right.
You're wasting my time.
Well, that's why Hollywood...
We're not exchanging favors. Like, I'll do something for you if you do this for me. Even if it's something intangible, just something small. That culture of networking. I'm not saying it's wrong.
Well, that's why the whole Hollywood sexual crisis we have going on here. That's the exact mentality. Right. I'm the best. Do something for... You know, it's like...
Right.
That's why... So...
Outside of... there, everyone, you have, like, your, like, distinct... I think in America, you have, like, your, like, small group of actual friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure this... What we're talking about is probably only here and... there's people across America who are like, not true at all.
Sure. Yeah, let's keep it to like the Hollywood entertainment industry and New York, LA, that kind of entrepreneurship vibe.
Let's
keep
it to our
that's
bubble.
Fair.
Yeah, our bubble.
Yeah, keep it to our bubble. That's fair.
Us Hillary supporters.
That's fair, yeah. But there's that in Australia, the idea of networking with someone is weird. It's actually like people are like, what are you doing? Like,
I gotta move there. I hate networking. It's so annoying. I hate being phony.
Australia, yeah.
So how do people get stuff? You just
Australia.
Sit around and wait?
People
merit. It finds you.
In Australia, that's what it is. In Australia, you need to succeed without trying. In Australia, all the heroes succeeded without wanting it. The moment you want it, it's like, fuck you. Like, you have to win without trying. You have to be Shane Warne, you know, cricket player, like, drinking beer and just, like, great at cricket but not working out.
But, like, I'll be honest, that seems impossible. Like, so
dude,
that's just... That's
a very rare...
That's a lottery,
that's
right?
Why Ben... That's why my Ben Simmons is such a terrible shot. He's not going to work on it. He's just going to get better.
Yeah.
So, but can you try really hard?
Ben Simmons is awesome.
Yeah, another, I'm a Sixers fan, so...
This sounds like a ridiculous question, but I think it's honest. Can you try really hard and then make it look like you're not trying really hard?
Yeah, you can, but... But you can't fake the fun. Like, you can tell. You can tell vibes from people.
You can tell if you're trying?
No.
People just hate you?
No, I mean, unless you're fucking Robert De Niro and you're the world's greatest actor, you can get the vibe from people. Like, how many times have you met someone who you know he looks like he's not trying, but you know he's trying super hard? Okay. Not that there's anything wrong. But that's another thing. Like, is it wrong to try? You know, it's a very American, you know, like...
I don't think it is.
Yeah. Is it wrong?
You should try. You should work
hard. You should work hard, yeah.
Well, maybe not try in networking, but trying in, like... Being whatever
be
it is
good.
You're doing, being the
be
best
good
at what
it.
You can do.
Sure, yeah.
You're supposed to sit around and do nothing.
But it manifests in different ways because the extension of the idea is I should try, I should go out there and get opportunities, and by getting opportunities it means I have to go and network. And then you get into the, you know, the place where you're just networking and trying. So,
yeah.
Or, you know, there's no right or wrong answer for how to make it. Like, you have to figure it out, right? I think being sincere and authentic helps. But not all the time. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the answers.
It's like a
but
pep talk.
Yeah.
We got to make this podcast. We got to seem like we're not trying, but we got to try.
I think we're doing a good job of seeming like we're not trying.
I'm blowing off any networking opportunities from now on. Screw that.
No, I mean, do you disagree?
Drink some Fosters and,
you know, do you disagree with that? I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting discussion.
I think this idea of not trying and then just someone picks you and, like, he's not trying the most, so he wins.
Yeah.
That sounds ridiculous to me.
Right. No,
you
got to
be tall
and
good looking for that to work.
It's absolutely ridiculous, but that's, you know, Australia, those are the heroes that they worship, like Paul Hogan, Crocodile
Dundee.
I
love Paul Hogan.
I mean, yeah.
That guy in Australia, he was working on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. He was a construction worker. One day, they put a microphone in front of him as a news interview, and the guy's super funny, and they're like, yo, this guy's super funny. You should go do some stand-up.
Really?
And he's like, I'll just do stand-up. And this time, he was super funny. Then he got into movies, like, without trying, you know, just fucking killing
That's why the boomerang makes such sense, because you throw it, and I'm not going to go chase that down. Yeah. It's going to come back to me.
He's like getting carried around the subway in New York.
Next thing you know,
Crocodile.
Oh yeah, great movie.
Americans, loving him. So there you
the
go.
The only thing we have even similar to that is Kurt Warner. Didn't he get like discovered bagging groceries? It was like, and
yeah,
then
he had great accuracy. Yeah.
He was a Super Bowl quarterback because he could throw groceries.
But he had,
really
but he
well.
Had Jesus on his side.
He had his tight spiral on like the watermelon.
Yeah, he had a lot of Jesus backing him. That was the key.
But that's not trying story. That's an underdog story. That's rising from the.
Yeah, we love the Americans love the underdog story.
Underdog.
We want you to work hard though. Yeah. Like
so we can tear you back down once you get to the top.
Yeah. Right. Well, Australia wants the. Yeah. Not
so
really. Trying.
They don't really like the movie Rocky. Then they don't like the. He's trying too hard. All that.
They like him because Rocky would never. Rocky wasn't. First of all, he wasn't like. He was trying to improve himself. He wasn't trying to be famous. So they like him.
Oh, so you can do that.
You can try to improve yourself.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That
just
makes
don't
more
try
sense.
To be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. But look, I mean, first of all, I'm not defending the philosophy, and second of all, what I'm saying is an extension of the Tall Poppy thing. I mean, if you agree that the Tall Poppy thing exists, the reason it exists is because they don't like people who try hard and make it. So way you win and not be hated in Australia is if you win without trying that hard, and they're like, oh, he's just a talented dude. Like he didn't want to do it. He didn't want it. He just that's literally what it is. I think. Yeah.
He kept saying, "No, I don't want to make money." Yeah. They just kept giving it to him.
Yeah.
And
that's what it is. Yeah. Once you try to, I was like, "Yeah, fuck this guy." You know, if you want it.
Well, fuck, man. Yeah. I guess it worked. You're on the Daily Show.
Oh right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. From in Australia, we don't. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird to just have that networking mentality. I think.
Do you like being in New York now? Like in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. It's a dream come true. I wanted to come here. That's why I did the New York bike exam. I was trying to move here back then. So it's a real dream come true. To move to New York and do comedy. It's honestly there's just so many moments doing stand up in New York of just, like. Being in the present and like actually enjoying the moment.
And your wife's Australian or
my wife's Australian, yeah, but she's living here now.
Does she like it here?
Yeah, she likes it. Yeah, thankfully. Thankfully, she likes it. Yeah.
Is that a risk when you came? You're like,
yeah, sure. We all know. She's not, you know, she's never lived in America.
This is why you can bag on Australians at Australia. She married in Australia.
Married
Australia.
Yeah,
there you go.
I mean, the fact that you guys think that that's insulting to Australians is funny because they would be like, yeah. You know what I mean? They won't see it as an insult.
The Tall Poppy?
Yeah, they won't see it. They're like, yeah, we don't like it when you get to a hill. Yeah. But you guys see it as an insult. You're like, I'm shitting on Australians, but it's not shitting on them. It's like, from their perspective, they're like, yeah, thanks for representing.
Yeah.
We don't like that shit.
Well, I still don't like them tripping people. Though,
yeah.
So. Oh, the tripping people. That's one lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
That's how you met your wife.
Great love story.
I forgot I did shit on Australian expats in Hong Kong. But that was a very specific shitting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a broad. It was very specific.
That's how we shit around here. Very specific.
Very specific. Very targeted.
Yeah. We're diarrhea.
And we talked a little bit, but I want to close on a little more on your wedding. We talked about the last time, but did your wife, she had a good time? The China wedding?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Chinese weddings? Yeah, yeah. I think she did, yeah. She was very, she's trying to be a good daughter-in-law to my parents. So she was like more enthusiastic than me anyway. I can be such a grumpy person. Like, I'm not like, you know, just trying to get through it, and she's like trying to actually enjoy the moment. Yeah, so she had a good time doing it.
Did they go to her house? I'm trying to think of something.
Yeah, they did.
And then did they like my parents had to hide, and then my wife had to come find them, but it was just in our apartment.
No, that's
do you count to 10 before they hide?
It was, no, I don't know. China they did like stuff. A really good, she couldn't find them for like a few minutes
in the apartment.
In the apartment, yeah. My mom, like, put a lampshade on her head. Wow. And my dad, like, hid behind.
I've never heard of that.
They were just fucking with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point, they just started making shit up.
Making
shit
up,
see if he keeps doing this.
Yeah. No, I never heard that one, yeah. But she liked the others, she's very Australian, like, very much Australian. So, but she really embraced the kind of Asian traditions that we were doing during the wedding. She embraced it. Like 100% embrace. In fact, wanted it, you know, because she knew that stuff would make her parents and my parents happy. So she was trying to do it.
That's cool.
Yeah. I was like, no, we don't need the gatekeeping. We had no bridesmaids, no groomsmen. I was like, let's just make this like as streamlined as possible.
Yeah.
And then you keep adding stuff on to please people. And so we added on the, and to be fair, I was happy that we added that gate crashing thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because it was fun. Yeah,
that's pretty fun. Yeah.
If you have two weddings in two different countries, you gotta have two bachelor parties in two different.
No,
countries?
I had zero bachelor parties.
Zero.
Yeah, because I'm not about that.
Oh, okay.
That's
the Australian. It's not. It's not cool to want one. It's just appear. Strippers just have to show up, find you.
You can't want them. You can't want them.
And they have to be fat. Yeah, attractive. Yeah, people think you're too much.
You don't want attractive.
Yeah.
And then what about the with the Daily Show? Is there they're like, in Australia, you can also say whatever you want on TV, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not controlled in any way.
No, yeah, you can say it for your own speech. It's pretty, yeah, obviously, you have to deal with the internet lynch mob, but yeah, in other
that's
than
here
that.
Too, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Other than that,
have they come after you at all?
The internet lynch mob here?
Yeah.
I used to get some flack when I first joined the show about being like making American-born Asian people look bad because I'm so Asian, like in how I talk and how whatever it is, you know. So I got some flack when I first
joined. Did you tell them you weren't American-born?
Yeah, I told
them.
Yeah, I did. I actually did say, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Because someone tweeted me. I remember my first, I did my first piece on The Daily Show. I was so excited to get that first piece out. It was about voting machines in Virginia, I think it was, a story about how shitty they were. And, you know, nothing racial at all in it. The whole thing that we did, you know, one thing I did was, I said, man, we have better voting machine. My grandma has better technology in her house. And I think I swore in Chinese at it or something. Okay. I was like, yeah, this is a tamada lan huo. And then, which is funny, CC, Comedy Central, is supposed to bleep swears.
I was going
to
say,
right, but they didn't
swear
know.
In Chinese, they don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So we did that.
Your mom.
Remember that in your comedy special.
Right. Yeah. And then I remember I did that piece. I was so excited for it to come out. And then I remember I had like American-born, this woman, American-born Chinese woman, who was like watching this and she was like, oh, this Ryan Chinese, this, I'm cringing right now. What a, you know, like, making us look bad, and you know, the accent is just cringeworthy. And I told her, like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm not American, right? And she's like, I'm not saying that you're, you know, it became this thing. I was like going back and forth.
Oh, you responded to her?
I said, like, yeah,
good
I did.
Move.
I did, yeah.
Shout
I just
out.
Said, shout out that woman.
She's
yeah.
listening.
I said,
I think she's probably a big fan now.
Yeah. I said, I can't, I remember saying, like, oh, I'm not American, like what you said. And she's like, it's not about being American. It's, you know, playing up Asian stereotypes. And it was like,
oh my God.
It wasn't even a, like, there was no stereotype in that.
Right,
whole,
it was about
voting
machines.
Yeah, I swear to God, it was, there was no Asian stereotypes in it. And I can't remember how it went, but it went like that. And then people started, like, defending me or whatever it was. But my point being that when I first joined, I think they weren't happy. Like, American-born Chinese people, not super happy about someone who they've kind of lived their whole life trying to, like I'm basically what they've been trying to avoid their entire lives. Yeah.
I understand. Like the distance between American Chinese and Chinese in China or in Asia.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a pretty big gap.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like you're
culturally.
Yeah, and you're literally, because they don't want to be seen as foreigners. They want to be, you know, they're seen as American, and literally just foreign Chinese persons on The Daily Show kind of representing all Chinese people. So, you know, they were like, oh, they were arguing that I make them look bad, basically.
It's a weird argument because you're not representing, I mean,
yeah, but
there's over a billion people in China that are foreigners.
Yeah.
It's not like a,
do you know, to be fair, you know, in American media, there's not a lot of Asian people representing. So
right, so you think they'd be happy that, like,
well,
yeah.
I think
and it's a comedy show, so people who
plus
want voices represented need to know that they're going to make fun of themselves at times. It's part of comedy.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So,
like, plus now you're fresh off the boat. Plus, are you have, is your show, the
Ryan Chinese International Student. Yeah,
international
yeah,
Student is Comedy
yeah.
Central?
Yeah, coming at Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Year, yeah, yeah. So hopefully that will, you know,
sweet.
Help out. But yeah, it's interesting. And I talk about this a lot. I find this topic very interesting. The kind of dichotomy between Asian-born Asians and American-born Asian people or Australian-born Asian people. The idea that in America, like, are Asian people in America supposed to represent Asian values, Asian culture in America, or are they supposed to say, well, Americans, stop calling us Asian? You know what I'm saying? Those two ideas, which are actually contradictory ideas. How do you resolve that?
Do you mean, do you embrace the culture or do you run away from the culture?
Right. Well, not so much run away, but American-born Chinese people, are they in America, are they here, are they trying to, as a voting bloc, are they trying to promote Asian values in America, Asian culture in America, or are they trying to say, we're not Asian, we're American, stop bringing that Asian shit to us, we're just American, stop calling us Asian, we are American. And those are two contradictory. And also the other thing about Asian Americans, I mean, I just said American Chinese people, but Asian Americans, they're not a monolith. There's many different types of Asian Americans, yes. Korean, Japanese, Thais, you know, people from Burma, there's Laotians, there's Vietnamese, then there's Chinese, and, you know, Filipino. So they're not a monolith voting.
Right. And when they, when the media will refer to it that way, it always struck me as weird, too. Because it's like, why would somebody from, like, any different countries vote the same way? They're totally different perspectives. Totally and everything.
Well, it's the flip of what I was talking about earlier, which is, like, people in China would be like, oh, that white guy, and it'd be like, a guy literally from Russia.
Right.
And it'd be like, you guys are
Estonia,
the same.
Yeah. This guy from Estonia.
Completely different countries.
Yeah.
So it is hard to figure out, but in America, they do. There's, like, the Asian, like, whites, blacks, Asian Americans.
So it's interesting, and just like any art form, is the answer to that question I just posed, it's just, you got to figure it out, you know. There's no right or wrong. Sometimes you promote Asian values, and sometimes you go like, you know, we're not foreigners, and it's I feel like I'm trying to figure that out as well. You know, we'll figure out how to navigate that, like how to best represent those stories.
Also, like
perspective, how to best represent that perspective.
All right, Ronnie. Do you have anything to promote before we do that?
I'm gonna be doing Hawaii next week. Come watch a show in Honolulu. Doing Philadelphia, 29th, 30th at the Punchline.
Nice.
29th of December. Doing Vancouver.
We've got a lot of fans of Philly. Yeah. Go out, support.
We do have listeners in Hawaii.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'm at the Republic in Honolulu, 22nd of December in Honolulu. I think I'm in Vancouver next year just for laughs, and then Chicago in March. Thank you, many Chicago listeners.
It's a genius move by you getting booked in Hawaii over Christmas week.
Oh, trust me, that was very much let's go to Hawaii. Oh, this is a gig.
Yeah. Nice.
Bring the wife to that one?
Bring the wife to that one.
Smart.
Awesome. All right, let's get to the news.
All right.
First news story of the week. This comes from the Straits Times. Which is that Singaporean or Malaysian? Straits Times?
The Straits Times is Singaporean.
Singaporean. Yeah. Okay.
The Malaysian one is the new Straits Times, I think.
Oh. Yeah, you got to one-up them.
Yeah.
You got to go new.
Yeah.
Yeah. McDonald's Malaysia has filed a police report against more than 20 individuals and NGOs for spreading lies and slander and for calling for the boycott of the franchise, reported the Malaysian media. The calls for boycott came following the Donald Trump administration's recognition of Jerusalem and Israel's capital last week.
He's awesome. Related.
I didn't even know this.
Yeah.
I didn't know that story, yeah.
So when Trump said, when Trump made his like proclamation about Israel, what the move is to boycott McDonald's.
Wait, how are they related? Yeah.
Because it's American. I guess they claim that... this group is claiming that the McDonald's Malaysia is somehow, maybe they support Trump or maybe they gave money to Trump or something like that. McDonald's says the claim coming from these parties that says McDonald's Malaysia contributes to fund Israel is false and slanderous accusations.
So they're saying McDonald's in Malaysia sends money to Israel and to Trump?
Yes, I guess so. Or maybe just Israel. Maybe just Israel.
I don't think Israel could accept money from McDonald's. It seems like
why?
Unkosher food money. It seems like that would be a big scandal in Israel if this was true.
So you should boycott McDonald's as well.
Well, the irony is I feel like we always divulge into talking about fast food on this podcast. Right. I always hated McDonald's growing up. The only McDonald's I've ever liked is actually the one in Ben Yehuda Street in Israel, in Jerusalem, if I'm allowed to say that. It's kosher, and it's totally different than McDonald's. It's like different meat. I can't get a cheeseburger. It's actually good. So maybe, you couldn't eat there. But no bacon.
Do you like that cuisine?
McDonald's? Yeah.
I like burgers. I don't like McDonald's.
Okay, so you do like burgers.
I like
burgers. Okay,
I'm a big, okay. big Carl's Jr. fan. I just never like McDonald's. I think they're crappy.
But that's a legit opinion to have. Like, why not? To not like McDonald's. That's actually good for you.
Yeah.
Because most people can't resist the biochemistry of it. Just makes people, you get addicted to it.
Yeah, like just McDonald's has, like, got the special...
Yeah, there's something...
Well, now, I don't know. Like, now that I'm in America, I don't eat it ever. But when I was in China, I used to eat it maybe, like, once every 2 months or so.
Yeah.
Something different.
Just something different.
Yeah. Well, we went to Burger King. That was Burger King in Spain, right, where my brother almost got mugged.
Oh,
that wasn't an...
We were in Spain.
Because I was probably the one who kept us from McDonald's. But I think all these fast food places are all an issue. It's like there's like Chick-fil-A. When I was a kid, Wendy's.
Wait, I just love the idea of pinning all of the entire United States of America and pinpointing it to McDonald's.
Yeah, well, it is one of our biggest companies.
It is good.
Yeah, a lot of like unhealthy food coming out of there. That I think, yeah, it's not good for the human race to have everyone eating this. You know,
so I might have to take the side. Since you guys are both taking the side of the this Malaysian action NGO, I might have to take the side of McDonald's.
No, no, I'm on McDonald's side.
Oh, you are?
I'm saying it's because I'm saying there's no way that, unless it's a bigger scandal here, there's no way Israel is accepting McDonald's money. So I think it's a big bullshit
when
scandal.
When I was there, when I was in China, sorry, they had a, every couple years they decide, like when the economy dips or whatever, they just blame everything on Japan.
Oh, yeah? In China?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like every 2 or 3 years. That's funny. Because what they'll do is they'll start showing all these movies on TV about the Japanese World
Occupation,
War II,
yeah,
and all
yeah.
that stuff. And when that was happening the last time, there's a strip of sushi restaurants in my neighborhood, and everyone just came and threw bricks through the windows of all the sushi restaurants. They're all owned by Chinese people.
But they serve sushi. That's like if Trump makes some speech and people just show up at a Mexican place and just start like...
Well, I don't think these are Americans owning the McDonald's in Malaysia anyway.
Right.
I don't think they're Israeli.
I don't know what the franchise model is like on the local McDonald's situation, but people are always, like, when I was a kid, like, Wendy's, I think I was telling you, like, that people were like, oh, you can't eat at Wendy's. They give money to anti-abortion. And there was no, like, internet back then, so I don't know what was true or not, but I feel like Arby's doesn't have that. That's what Arby's was missing.
He's a big Arby's fan.
I'm a big Arby's fan. We never had
Arby's
I worked there. So we never had a controversy. I feel like you need a controversy. People didn't talk about you more. This is good for the McDonald's.
Well, there are, now that, like, Trump's won, there was a whole list last year of, like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this.
Oh,
like,
right.
Arby's was off that. Arby's didn't get involved in that either.
No, you know what was on it? Yingling. Yingling Lager, the beer from his favorite beer from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing I was like, you know what? I don't support Trump, but I'm not going to stop drinking Yingling. Was there anything that you jumped in on that you didn't do because of?
No.
Cap had a shoe thrown at his head because he went into a New Balance store.
That was during, like, right after the election. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Day after the election.
And by the way, thank you for the reminder. I got to go there again after we're done recording because I'm missing a lot of shoelaces because of my dog.
He broke the picket line. All these people were picketing.
Oh, shit.
They were running by. They threw a shoe at me. I mean, they threw a shoe at the store, I think, not me.
Who the hell buys shoes in a store now?
But I was just going to buy. I was going to buy shoelaces because my dog keeps destroying my shoelaces.
But even worse, why would you buy shoelaces?
Like,
you
can
buy
America. That.
Yeah, but buy that online, man.
Especially the day after the election.
Life's changed a lot. You don't remember? A year ago, we were buying things in stores. Trump has changed the economy so much.
It's a new world.
That's really funny.
Story. This is from the New York Times. Uh-oh.
The failing fake New York Times.
I have a bone to pick with this one. China shuts down female morality classes that taught women to do more housework and shut their mouths. This is from the New York
Times. Good, right?
Of course, good, yeah. So,
why were you so angry? Were you a bone to pick with this article?
No, let me keep reading.
Right.
The class came to the attention of authorities after a video of one of the sessions in Fushun, Liaoning province, went viral. The teacher also said that women should not strive to move upwards in society, but should always remain at the bottom level, and opined that ordering takeout instead of cooking violated the rules of women. So
I remember reading this.
You did hear about this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My initial problem with this is that it's a wildly negative story about China. I think someone would read this and be like, oh, China is like backwards.
Sure.
But they're taking one specific class from Fushun, Liaoning province, which is like, I don't know if it's Alabama or whatever. Right. Like, go to some little school in Alabama. I'm sure you can find some crazy person.
Was this a mandatory class?
It doesn't say if it was mandatory.
And
then they just say China. Like, they say, like, oh, like the impression is this is happening all over China, which is absolutely not.
Right.
Second of all, like, they're saying that this guy's saying, like, all women should cook. I lived near Shanghai, in the city. It's like, no, Chinese women don't cook anymore. Like,
oh, really?
My wife
They're
does,
like American?
But it's the stereotype, it's in the movies, just doesn't exist. It's like people are in cities, they're moving around.
That's good for your wife's business.
Seamless.
She doesn't want all this competition.
My wife's a cooking instructor. She was teaching everyone to cook.
I know, but she doesn't want,
I don't read this and go, all of China is doing this. Us in this room are a bit better at critical reading. Then hopefully, I hope not, but I think we're better at critical reading. But I don't read this and go off China. I think it's just like this fucking one school.
Oh, okay, that's good.
That's how I read it anyway. But also it's like, it's weird that it's almost like this person is trolling. Like the person said to school, the way she's phrasing it is so obviously backwards that you gotta be trolling us. Like, you know, you're saying, you know, society doesn't approve of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And the way you're phrasing it is like, Yeah, they shouldn't start to be more. You know, like who says that? Like who talks like that?
It's who just, should say that they should order take? They should.
Because when you genuinely believe you'll phrase it as like, I wish we had, you know, women supported their husbands more. Like you'll phrase it in a positive way. She's phrasing it in such a negative way. Like who the fuck is, you know, who the fuck is behind you?
I mean, if we had that class in America, we would just be teaching women to order takeout on the phone. Because, like, every woman I know can only order on Seamless or Caviar. They can't even make a phone call for food. But I'm gonna offer a controversial opinion. If they had a class like this, I would sign Ruby up my daughter for a class like this. Because I want to zig when everyone's zagging. Like, nobody knows how to cook anymore.
That's true.
She could grow up. She'd be amazing wife material one day. You know, learns a little cooking. Learns that, you know, she's a little bratty. Could learn to pipe down a little.
Yeah, we need controversy, and I think you're helping. Right, this would be good for the pod.
That's what I'm doing. You know, I'm not saying it's the only class you take, but, you know, you got to give a balanced education.
I guess, like, my opinion comes from the idea that it's painting all China, is that whenever, like, stories like this come out, people send them to me, like, American friends. Right. And they're like, whoa, do you see what's going on, what they're doing in China?
Yeah, you're the voice of China.
Yeah.
And it's like, to people that know me, I am, you know?
Like, yeah. It's just like you in China being the white guy. Now you're the Chinese
guy.
Yeah, this shit is dumb. This school is dumb. Please stop doing that stuff. It's just exactly. It doesn't make any sense.
Last story of the week. Back to Malaysia for this one. Although this has to do with Kaplan a little bit. This is from Asia One.
That's
is that
me.
TV?
That's a website. Yeah.
This is a. What
it's
is it? Like?
Probably the website of Channel News Asia. I think. It's I'm pretty sure it's a Singaporean. What's it called again? What's that company called? What Press Holdings? Anyway, I'm very sure it's a Singapore company.
Student bag. This is a very fluff piece. Yeah. Student bags an A in maths by watching YouTube. This has to do with Kaplan. So studying hard is no longer the secret to acing exams. Studying smart is. Basically, the idea is that you know, not like this kid does not learn. There's no reason to learn in school anymore. You can learn by watching YouTube.
100% agree with that.
Which is what Kaplan says happens in America, and now is also
well, my son is 5, and he knows every single country in the world. He can name them all, and
that's
he's
crazy.
And he knows the capitals in many of them, and he knows the capitals in pretty much every state in America and all the states. And where did he learn any of that in school? He learned it all on YouTube.
That's great.
Funny videos.
That's great, man. This stuff will unlock human potential everywhere. Like. Because tuition in Asia is such a big market. It's like a $1 billion industry. After school tuition.
Tutoring.
Yeah,
stuff.
Tutoring.
Yeah.
And if you can get your kids on YouTube and learn from there, man, fuck yeah. Why not?
It's free.
Good for this kid. And I get a distinction from watching YouTube. Way to go.
First got into comedy, I was in like the middle of China in 2009 or 10 or whatever. Yeah. And the only way you could watch it was YouTube.
Right.
And then once I started traveling around Asia, I found that's how most people, like in Singapore and Malaysia, all the little scenes I was meeting, they were all doing this exact same thing.
Yeah.
Umar Rana, if you know that
I
guy.
Know him,
Singapore,
I know him.
But all those kind of people, like, they all started at the same time as me. And it was all like, I think like YouTube and podcast is what, like, the comedy spread. I don't know what your opinion is, but.
I mean, I wasn't in Asia,
there, right?
So I'm not sure. But I'm not surprised that YouTube and now probably Facebook video is how it spreads. In fact, I believe that YouTube is the biggest platform on the planet for comedy, more so than Netflix or more so than, you know. It doesn't have the prestige factor the way a Netflix special does. But it has by far the biggest reach globally. Unstoppable. The YouTube reach is like people all over the world watch stuff on YouTube now. Like it's if you can get something on there going, you know.
And now we're gonna have to pay. You must follow the news because you have to.
Maybe he can explain net neutrality.
Net neutrality.
Nobody knows what it is.
We don't totally understand.
It's that, you know, it's like the idea that, you know, the internet's a very crowded place, and so some people should pay so that they can get faster lanes.
I wonder if they'll like if I can say in it if you know with YouTube. If they're going to, you know, the stuff that I just talked about, all the great stuff that my son has learned, but there's also all the weird stuff we've all talked about, where, like, people are dressed up in giant eggs and they're doing this really weird shit that kids are, like, obsessed with, like, hypnotized by.
Yeah.
Which is going to be more expensive? Because if the kids have
whatever is, like, gets the most demand.
Because I would love it if net neutrality could run these weirdos out of business who get millions of hits on all their shit that my kids are watching. Because I know they're all fucking rich off this stuff.
That's
off the
funny.
Ads they get. So maybe,
that's really funny. Yeah,
for me, like,
there's a 6-year-old kid who makes $11 million a year reviewing toys.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he reviews toys and he makes $6
million. And my
million,
kids sit there and watch it. They're like transfixed. They'd rather watch the kid review the toy than play with that same toy at home.
What are we doing with the podcast? We gotta be doing this.
We should be doing videos where we just
get your kids to review toys. To me, like, I'm glad I still have. You used to have a VPN in China so you could get out of China for internet.
Yeah.
I still have it.
Oh.
So who cares about net neutrality? I can use it to like get into Canadian internet or something.
You could rent that out to people.
Or UK. That's a new business.
That's really an idea. I don't know if that works. That's an interesting angle. I mean, undoubtedly the VPN would slow everything down. You're going through
it. It did.
Yeah.
Because it used to think I was in, for a while it thought I was in London, so I was getting like UK Yahoo, and you'd be like, oh, this week on Big Brother. Yeah. And all these dudes with like weird teeth are like super celebrities.
Getting a lot of Liam Gallagher news stories.
On a lot of like unattractive British people are like super famous. I'm like, I could do that. maybe I can do that with my $50 a year.
But net neutrality is ended, so we won't have it anymore.
Right.
See, that's the part that I don't get.
The FCC ended, no one really cares, but it's a bit of a problem because then now what the idea is like AT&T, whoever your service provider, could theoretically, and they will, because that's just how capitalism works. They will go like, oh, you want Netflix? Oh, it's going to cost an extra $5. Because for us to give you that bandwidth, it's
but that's really the one thing. That's like the only, like Netflix is the one I'm most upset about this.
Yeah.
But do you think that'll be worldwide, or that'll just be Netflix America? Like, can I hop over to the UK and just get, oh, but then I'll get whatever shows they have, right?
Yeah. Well,
also, if you pay $5 more a month for Netflix, like, I mean.
Yeah, but you're going to have to do that for everything.
Right. Well. Yeah. It's only things you want.
Gmail.
No, it'll be like hotel internet. You know how there's like premium and then the free one? The free one is just the worst shitty. Yeah, you'll be like that.
Oh, God.
And then you got like pay to basically access like if you want your Netflix or whatever your stream to look clearer, you know, like if you want HD, then you need to pay your, not even pay Netflix, you're paying AT&T to be like, okay, we're going to give you some more bandwidth, you know.
But at least our pod, we're going to start charging for our pod website.
Yeah, we're
$100 a click.
$100 a click, yeah.
And then we're going to be rich.
You also got to lower the quality of this right down to like,
well,
it sounds like we're all on our phone.
Yeah,
why don't
exactly.
you do that? Yeah, you can change the quality of the podcast, and if people want to pay premium membership, they can hear us.
Oh, there you go.
If they want to, you know, that.
Shout out to our listeners.
If they want like a buzzing noise in their ears, if they don't pay us.
This is the Randy Lee Emmy nominated.
Yeah, we got Emmy nominated sound. We're going to charge more for Emmy sound.
Pay me $10. I'm going to blow an air horn right now.
I'm going to give you a minute.
Idea.
Pay the money.
$10 or I blow this air horn right now.
Trump, I love how we're all overlooking the idea that they can always just turn it off.
No, they're not allowed to do that. We're going to charge them more if they turn it off.
Oh, that's a good idea. Get them everywhere.
We're winning so much right now. I can't get enough of it.
I'll charge them $10 to turn it off.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that's our podcast. Ronnie, thank you for doing it, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
That was a blast. Catch Ronnie on The Daily Show all the time. Yeah.
Daily.
Go check out my website, ronniechang.com. I got tour dates coming up.
So sweet. Come see him in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Ukulaka.
Or you can see you in the... I saw you in the subway today on like an ad campaign for The Daily Show.
Go see him in the subway.
In New York, if you're in New York City.
Right.
Cap, what should we do?
I'm going to go blow the air horn and then I'm going to get lost.
Get lost.
Titty rings, say what you see, man. We got these questions. Is it true that you've sold your soul? I say, hey, man, I don't know. Let me a quarter, won't you? I'll call my accountant. Let's get out this. Get on with it. If you want to change the world, shut your mouth and stop this spinning. Get off this. Get on with it. If you want to change the world, shut your mouth, start this minute. Come around the judge and stone, yeah. All we're trying to do is make a fortune. Yeah, we ain't got no government loans, and no one sends a check from home. We'll get this, we're just doing what we wanna. So let's get on this, get on with it. If you wanna change the world, shut your mouth and start this minute. Get on this, get on with it. Change the world, shut your mouth and start this minute. Well, the guitar player's staying out in Hollywood and saying he's just trying to get some sleep. But everyone's complaining, are you truly, deeply cynical? Cause boy, you know I love you.
shut your mouth and start this minute. Get on this, get on with it. If you want to change the world, shut your mouth, shut your mouth.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.